Salut d'amour by Elgar, sweet little piece, an early piece written the year before his marriage, and he flogged it for not very much. Well, you are, I suppose he wasn't to realise how popular it would become. Played with her usual exquisiteness by Tasman Little, with John Lenihan at the piano. Miss Little is my next guest, and very nice to see you back. You've been forsaking us for the last few months, not to be seen on British concert platforms.
Yes, I have, and I'm afraid it's taken its toll on my voice. As you can hear, I'm all croaky. I'm not really auditioning for cabaret, but I'm just making a...
Well, yes, we should really have some hot drink for you to gargle with, or possibly an old wife's red flannel to wrap around your throat, which is supposed to be awfully good.
Our listeners
will, I'm sure, have some suggestions, but maybe you need to wear it. Elgar, very much in the frame at the moment.
Yes,
you're playing him,
so.
What, next week?
On Sunday. This coming Sunday, with the LSO and Richard Hickox, and I'm really looking forward to it, because my very favourite performance that I ever gave of that piece was with Richard a few years ago at the Three Choirs Festival, and he's so fantastic in this repertoire. Mm. And, of course, the London Symphony Orchestra, well, just doesn't get much better than that. So.
Well, of course, you're in Elgar's home territory if you're at the Three Choirs Festival. Did you feel the spirit of the man around then?
Well, actually, it might sound like a bit of a cliche, but I jolly well did. It was really quite extraordinary, and a lot of people commented at the time on what a fantastic atmosphere there was.
Was it in one of the cathedrals?
Yes, it was in Gloucester Cathedral. Mm. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Mm. Mm. Well, you hope you'll bring that aura with you. And to the concert, which I mean, the concerto is an extraordinary work, and it really is. He sort of intimates that it has a mysterious dedicatee, and that it has a female soul, really, that it represents the soul of a great friend.
Very much so, yes. I did an interesting programme for Radio 4 recently, which meant that I actually got to see the original score, and that was fascinating, because he actually had a bit of a mental block about writing the piece, and this was sort of overcome by him talking to his great muse and friend Alice Stewart Wortley, and it was her, Windflower, who really encouraged him. To continue writing, and then he's writing in a tearing hurry, and you can see, you know, that the writing, it gets more and more scrambled, and he's using, you know, bits, sort of pasting bits from other scores into the new score and everything. So he obviously wrote it, then once he got over the block, he wrote it in a great passion. And then, of course, there is the famous inscription in Spanish, the Aquí está encerrada el alma de, which means here is enshrined the soul of.
And then
five dots.
Yeah.
And I believe that this signifies Alice.
So it's Alice Stewart Wortley, or his friend, or do you think it's Alice Elgar?
Well, now, I don't know about that, but I think that we know from the letters that he sent that this was very much her concerto. He considered this Alice Stewart Wortley's concerto, so I think it's more likely to be Alice Stewart Wortley.
I mean, interesting that he had a block, because he was writing this really wasn't for Chrysler.
He was indeed,
and
yes.
Chrysler kept saying, you know, I've asked him for something, and 3 years ago, and still nothing, obviously, in a terrible rage.
Well, that's right, yes, exactly, and he really did have a problem with the concerto and couldn't seem to make it work. And then, of course, the last movement, he said in one of his letters, it's growing out of all proportion, it's taken on a mind of its own, and it is a huge, huge last movement. In fact, it's really one of the things that makes the concerto so difficult, because we've already had two substantial movements in the first and second movement, and then the last movement is a flurry of activity, and really I hardly have any time at all to put my bow down, and frantic passage work, and then, of course, at the end of all of that, the accompanied cadenza, which is a superb bit of invention from Elgar, and it's quite unlike anything that anybody else has ever written. And to put it at that point in the piece, the very sort of culminating moments, is I think is a stroke of genius.
Well, then you've got to calm down for that, and then next month, because you're playing Mendelssohn, I think, then, aren't you?
Not calming.
Well, I'd have thought after all this English angst, maybe this sort of wonderfully tuneful.
Well, you have some German angst.
Very different. Very different.
Yes, yes. Oh, totally different, because it's so classical, the Mendelssohn. Although, of course, it also has touches of romance in it as well. But it is basically a very classical concerto.
Well, we're hearing you play now music by Moskowski, which doesn't get outing that terribly often. One of his ballads, the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra and Martin Brabbins. Do you like to explore the sort of highways and byways of the repertoire then as well?
Very much so, yes. And I think, as you can see from the varied recordings that I've made, there's as much new and or different repertoire as standard repertoire. And that's definitely something that has always interested me. And I play now nearly 50 violin concertos, 49. And many, many of those are ones that many people don't play and that I really feel should be played, like, for instance, the Karlovich, which is also on that disc.
Great pleasure to see you. Thanks very much indeed. Welcome back from your continental wanderings. And
thank you.
Your fans can rest easy. Tasman Little, great pleasure.
Thank you.